Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. It's the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Steve Naive and the Strangers and Spreadsheet Pete. You're on, lads.
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Good, thank you. So, Steve, are you with us, really, or is someone else with you? What's going on?
Yeah, my dad's just turned up, actually.
Oh, I was going to say, I could sense something in the background. What's he doing? Is one of those guys who comes around and just tests things? He just bangs on the text, you know, shakes the radiators, just tests everything.
Exactly that.
I think making random noises in a podcast is obviously a family trait. So he wants
exactly.
Oh, you do a podcast, I'll come around and make some noise in the background.
Make some noise. Okay. All right, so it's been a very, very interesting week, hasn't it, on the stock markets and all that stuff.
Hasn't it?
Yeah, what's your thoughts, Steve? Steve, you say, why are stocks falling? On what's happening? Why are stocks falling, he said. Steve, what do you reckon now? What do you think the stocks are falling for?
It's a correctment in the market.
A correctment, that's it.
Yeah, it's a new word I created.
It's a correctment.
You can make up, Steve. Yeah, he's gold, isn't he? Absolute gold. Yeah. It's a correctment. Yes, absolutely. Have you been saying that? Have you been saying that on Bloomberg, Steve? They'd laugh off the screen.
They wouldn't laugh at me.
No, they wouldn't. It's a correctment.
Yeah.
I suppose you've got a Bloomberg terminal, Steve. You've got so many other gadgets. I wondered if you paid for a Bloomberg terminal.
Well, I'm invited to the Christmas party, so...
Okay.
Oh, that's nice. On the strength of what? He's doing the disco. Right, Stevie. So it is a bit of... Well, listen, this is technically, it's hard to say. What they say is a 10% drop from the highs is a correction. We're not there really yet.
20%. We're a correctment.
Yeah, we're a correctment. That's right. It's not as bad as a correction. 20% or more is the start of a bear market, they say. Okay, so that's not good because they can last for a year, 2 years. But like I said, if you've got cash on the books, say it's good. Opportunities arise. But do you know where it came from? Have a guess where it came from, essentially, what they're saying.
Go on.
Multitude of different reasons, isn't it? But.
Well, who is the biggest, idiot on the planet at the moment?
Donald Trump.
Yeah, a present accepted, a present company accepted. It's essentially Donald Trump, right? Everything he's been doing, right, has led into sort of price inflation. You know what happens when price inflation goes up? You have to calm it down a bit, because every policy he's announced, lowering of taxes, trade tariffs, all this has increased. So the job of the Fed is essentially is to rein this in. Now he sacked the last person from the Fed pretty much and appointed his own man. But his own man has said, right, we need to raise interest rates, and they told or laid out what's happening. And he did an interview this week saying he called the Fed loco. Oh, they're loco. They're gone way over the top, way overboard, way over the top. Unbelievably crazy. And that's like, can you imagine Mark Carney saying that by the bank? Theresa May saying that by Mark Carney, the Bank of England. He's not all there, is he? He's the guy who's crazy. Crazy person doesn't know what crazy is because they're crazy. That's what crazy is. You don't know what crazy is, do you? It's like, if you're stupid, you don't know you're stupid because you're stupid. That's it,
That Kanye West thing when he went to the Oval Office, that was a meeting of minds.
I think even Donald Trump was looking at him thinking, he's crazy. And normally, if Donald Trump's in the room, everyone's looking at him thinking, he's crazy. But I think,
I thought that Trump was actually looking at him going, wow, I want to be like him. Yeah, he's better than me, actually. Yeah, wow, how do I get that good?
Yeah.
But, what happened? I missed that video. What happened?
Oh, you got it. Well, I put it in the WhatsApp group, Steve. You got to look at it. And Kanye West is he wanted to show Donald Trump. He just went on for like 10 minutes talking absolute. I don't know what the heck are you talking about. Nonsense. Absolute stream of consciousness nonsense. And at one point, he wanted to show Trump his idea He'd obviously email Apple or something about doing it an iPlane, which is a hydrogen fuel. And so he opened his phone up, got his iPhone out, opened his iPhone. Turns out the passcode, you could see it, was 6 zeros. It's almost, even the way he touched those 6 zeros was almost frenetic and frantic. It's almost like the work of a fevered mind, you know, the way he
had the same number. Bipolar.
He was saying
bipolar. He was like, Sherlock. Yeah.
Is that like a bipolar? Is that like a polar bear? Doesn't mind either sex.
That's it. That's exactly what bipolar is.
Hello, I'm a bipolar bear. It's an odd thing to be, especially because he's the wrong colour completely. Let's go into stocks and shares this week. Yeah, it's been a bit of a storm. But, these things happen. We haven't had a correction since February. I don't remember February's correction. So on the day it happened, I did buy, on Thursday, when the shares were, hitting the fan, I did buy some more Jangada. On the Wednesday when it was getting bad, I bought some more C4XD, and I bought some Tuple as well. Have you been buying any, guys?
I bought some C4XD, but then that was kind of just before it then crashed back down again, so that wasn't a great...
I'm encouraged by that, though, because they raised 10 million, right? They raised 10 million 90 pence.
Yeah.
And quite a few funds are upping their holdings. I mean, some has gone to 10%, one has gone to 8%, or something like that. And, why do you raise funds? I mean, they've got this... It's an amazing disruptive model they've got. They're going to have 40 drugs in the pipeline in year four. And they're partnering these out before clinical trials. Clinical trials are the most, risky part of biopharma, of proving a drug. And so they're avoiding that. What they do is bring in big companies to partner them and finance them through these clinical trials. They share any sort of revenue from that at the end, the commerciality. So it's an amazing model, it just breaks the model, the traditional model. And Clive Dick's a guy behind this. He's done very well before. He sold a couple of businesses for triple digit millions of pounds in the biotech space, so he knows what he's doing. He knows how to create value. So he's come up with a model here that works very well. It avoids the big risks, and I like it a lot. So even though it's a bigger market cap than normally that I normally go for, I think it could be a FTSE 100 company if they become what they want to do,
What I was going to say is interesting, and we're talking on Friday afternoon now, interesting to see which have kind of rebounded the strongest, and a couple in my portfolio, Feedback and Tessarian, which both took a bit of a hammering on Thursday. Yeah. They've both kind of rallied relatively strongly, 10%, 14% up.
I don't know if you can
read too much into that. But,
I did tweet out, though. I said, generally, on a sell-off, the stocks that sell off the most, right, are the ones that are considered overvalued.
Yeah.
Or the ones that people have less confidence in, or the ones that need cash. So Vessarion has always been seen as overvalued because, of course, it's high tech graphene. It's valued at
dropped to about 200.
It went down. So it's £1.40 looking at now. It's up 10% pretty much. It's just valued over 200 million. And of course, it's got quite small revenues compared to that. But in the tech sector, graphene, you don't know where it's going to go. So that sold off massively because it was down to almost getting close to £1, really, £1.10 or something. Or £1.18, I think it was. But yeah, because people thought, anything that's overvalued, if a recession is going to happen, and the fear is that growth will be there because that's a growth stock, like companies like Feedback that need some cash to raise cash, then the share price is going down. Everything's going. How are they going to raise cash in this environment? It's going down and down and down. So that's another thing. But so they've bounced back nicely.
Yeah.
But you know what? Everyone gets a bit shaken on big days like this when your entire portfolio, and without exception, pretty much, there's a couple of stocks that didn't get hit, but without exception, your whole portfolio goes down. And people get shaken by this, but it happens a couple of times a year. It does generally. I do think I've said this on the podcast. I'm not repeating myself, but I've said I do think we're heading towards a recession. We've had 10 years of bull run.
You have mentioned that. Yeah.
I literally got about 15% cash now. I was about 40% 2 weeks ago.
But this is the thing. I was sort of when a couple of weeks ago, and you know, my Perth was at the its all time high, as was yours.
That's when to start scaling out, and you know,
and I did right. So this is what happened, and I think you've done the same. Top sliced a bit off the better performing stocks, and I got it to about 15%, which is high for me, moving almost towards 20% of cash. But then, you know, I've been tempted back in. And then we've had the correction. So I've, you know, timing the market is impossible, but it would have been obviously nice just to hold on to that cash until this moment.
Pete, you should have waited for the correction and then bought back in.
The correctment.
Yeah, I love the correctment.
Yeah, exactly. But then, you know, wise after the event. But then, so that was the only thing. And now I'm looking, I still want to go. There are a couple. Predator, I want to buy more into Predator, but you. At what point do you buy in? At what level? I mean, today...
I'd say we've done the American market's going, we've had that correction. It's corrected. Yep. You know, I mean, what we're correcting for is an adjustment in, you know, interest rates. If they go up, of course, it will lead to a slowdown in the economy. That's what they're trying to do, trying to stop it overheating. And so that will happen, and it will have an impact on the stock market for a while, and then they'll probably reduce interest rates again. But they're saying...
Jagard & Mines is the other one that I've averaged down... last week, then we've had the correctment, perhaps now is the time to continue that averaging down, because like as you were saying on your video diary, which I watched last night,
I did another one. It's two now, but one of the Thursday, one Friday.
Talking about Jack Barber and that, and I kind of agree with what you're saying in terms of long-term potential there, and this is the time to buy.
And I sort of expanded on that in the video diary today, because someone asked me, when do you cut a loss, when do you just get out? And I said, when the story's changed, and I don't think it has. I said, the project is still very good, it's very compelling, in a good jurisdiction, in good metals, it's very, you know, its IRR is 67%, it's very efficient, it's very low cost. You know, they've got good metals, they're in PGM, they're in palladium, they're in platinum, they're also in cobalt, copper, nickel, you know, EV. Now, the only thing that's messed up is what Brian has done with the fundraise. Yeah. So on a corporate level, they've messed up, but on a project level...
Brian,
look, you've done the fun ways, Brian. You really messed you up there, Brian. Brian hasn't hit it out of the park with the fundraise, has he?
About the time frame for all of that activity there for Jangala? Because
there's lots of things happening. You know,
I'm looking back. We first invested about a year ago.
Yeah, I know. Do you know what? When Brian first came to the market with Jangala, he said this is going to be faster market, faster production. But then this slow fundraise. It didn't raise enough at the start, the IPO, right? When you go into IPO, you should raise enough money to take you to 12 to 18 months. That's what you should have enough money for, right? He didn't. They had about enough money for six months like that. And so people knew they needed to raise money. Then this pause and, you know, didn't go for it and didn't press the trigger because he didn't want to raise it below the IPO price at 5p, and that made it worse. And then all of a sudden it kept going down and down. But of course, I think it makes a more compelling upside for the company because they're now going for a maiden joke resource just on their copper, cobalt, nickel and copper. So they're going to have, they have potential there alone. And they've got palladium and all that stuff. So it's a lot going on there. They've got 44 exploration licenses, 3 mining licenses. It's a big area. I can't remember what it was, 4,400 square kilometres or something. But it's a massive area they've got. You know, it's in Brazil. It's a decent jurisdiction. Not a problem there. You know, it's like the deepest, darkest Africa where there's absolute ruler or crazy about nationalising assets. It's fine. So there's a lot to like about it. What's gone wrong is on the corporate level, not the project level. And so... I'm happy with this, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm not happy. I'm down like 30%, but I'm happy that. I'm happy. I think. Okay. Yes. Did you see? Was it last week? I wrote my blog on Totally, man.
Totally, it was Totally last week. Yeah.
Did you buy any Totally?
I did. Yeah.
Steve, are you even the strangers?
Steve's like working in the background. You can hear him clicking away.
He's gone. He's muted us and he's gone.
He's actually disappeared.
Let me add him again. He says, I'm going to just work with my father, just testing the radio.
What are those voices? What are those voices really doing? They've gone now. That's better.
They just said they've really got on my nerves now in the background. Just cut them off.
Who are these people?
I'll just bang the radios with my father.
Yes, I did join them.
Yes, I did join them. What did you join, Steve?
So I got cut off then. Did you not notice?
Yeah, I did. Yes, I just dialed you back, Steve. Did you not notice?
All right, well, you know, is that how it works?
Yeah, it has joined my magic. So, Steve, what do you mean? I did join them. What do you mean you did join them? What are you talking about?
Yeah, sorry. I did join them.
No, I got confused then for rejoining the Skype call and ignore me. Carry on. I'm getting my words mixed up.
Steve, I love it.
I did join them. Yes, I did join them. So the question so you need a bit of a correct man there, Steve. Yeah. Right.
He can only say things that are written in front of him at any one time.
So Steve, yeah,
yes, I Skyped them.
He saw join call and he went, yes, I did join them. Sorry. All right, good to Skype you guys. Happy Skyping. Right, yeah. Listen.
Yes, I did busty ladies.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely, Asian babes.
Sorry, yeah.
Listen then, Steve, did you buy Totally?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Now, listen, this is a good thing. While we're approaching, there's no one getting all out of the stock market, even if a bear market's coming. But like I said, it's always good to have that discipline in the back of your head, thinking a bear market's coming, you know, just in case. But you may want to look at rotating your stocks, getting out of some into other sectors, you know? Like, resource sectors will be hit hard. Resource, I mean, that is oil, gas, you know, minerals, any exploration companies like that. Because China is the big country eating those up, you know? They're the country using all these commodities. So they will take a big hit in the downturn. I think safer things are like maybe a bit more biotech, definitely something like Totally, which is NHS, is revenue generating. The NHS, you know, is not going to stop due to a recession, you know? It's still going to get the same funding, you know, the kind of thing. So, and it's still going to have to pay for doctors and all that stuff. So that kind of thing, and telecoms, stuff like that, they're a bit more resilient, you know? So anything like that you think, you know, think of what a recession won't touch an industry. You've got to think of that, you know? And so
the only thing with Totally, there is that potential political kind of element to it, isn't it? Like, so the political landscape changes.
Yeah, but
how does that affect someone like Totally?
Well, Totally,
an outsourced
right?
company for...
Yeah, they're an outsourced company for the NHS, yes, but they've hit certain standards and doing very well. It's not like Carillion or something like that. The NHS are achieving better rates of return outsourcing to, you know, and the standards got up, outsourcing, because they discovered, the NHS itself did a study in 2017, I think it was, where they found that between 1.3 and 1.5 million, or maybe 2 million, people didn't need to go to A&E. They could have local care provided to them. And so that's, and it's A&E that costs a lot of money. So I just think it's good for the NHS, full stop, isn't it? Can anyone really seriously, other mainstream, apart from the idiot fanatics behind Corbyn's, you know, membership, is anyone seriously? I mean, you know, Theresa May is abysmal. Let's be honest; she has got the personality of a rock, but of a dead dog, you know. But can anyone actually seriously see Jeremy Corbyn being voted in as a serious leader? Is that, he'll kill business? I mean, if people think we're in trouble now, right? People think we're in trouble now. You wait until he gets in. Wow. The Labour Party has a history of damaging business. They have no idea that about, you know, I think the stat is about 80% of the people in this country work for small business. You know, so if you mess up small business, you mess up the economy. I don't know if that's a stat. I just, you know, wasn't
that? No, I think you've made that up.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's very high, though. You know, looking at small business, there's a lot of people.
I think 93.5% of stats are made up on the spot.
Yeah, they are. I don't think that's true. Steve, what do you reckon? I mean, how many? What? So, competition. Don't Google it. What percentage of people, right, work for small business in the UK?
Did you not just say that?
He's on delay. He's on a. Yep. But did you? Yep. Yes, I did join them.
Yes, I did say that. I'm asking. Yeah. Look at this. Right, large businesses only employ 38% of private sector workforce, while small businesses employ 53% of workers. In fact, over 99% of employing organisations are small businesses, and more than 95%. What? Didn't that contradict itself? It's a lot, anyway. What I'm saying is,
come back to us on that one.
It's a majority. Yeah,
also, what do you class as a small business? It's quite.
It's SMEs are like classes. Is it 50 employees or 200 employees or less? Something, I think.
It's quite a big business, isn't it?
What is an SME? Like, Steve.
Wow, this is really entertaining stuff this week on the podcast. Live Google searches.
What is an SME? Live Google searches, yes. It's one of 250, headcount between 1 and 250. So there we are. So 250 is obviously a big SME. It's a small and medium enterprise. Semi. So that's medium. But then you get bigger than that. Anyway, BT be doing well, isn't it?
Of course, let's talk about BT.
I preferred it when BT was doing bad and all the others were doing good.
Yeah. Well, BT is a defensive stock. They've been linked with Apple, haven't they? Apple's creating its own sort of content now for TV. And it looks like they've been hooking up with the old, what's it called? BT, there have been chats about it. And they may be using the Apple box to stream BT stuff, you know? So
Apple TV
and BT, yeah. There's some kind of hookup going on.
I haven't seen that. Okay, is that the reason for the slight rise this week?
Yeah. What does that really mean? Slight. I mean, it's above his 200. It's above his 200 movie average.
I know. I'm excited.
So that's
I am only 14% down now. So that's good.
That's all right, isn't it? See, we're at 237. It will pop the 240 level. I've got a big line there, an alarm on there on my trading view chart. And once it pops above that and closes above that, we're off to the races, guys.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Which races?
Anything else happening stocks-wise? Jangada. I mentioned Tuple, didn't I?
Oh, yeah. What are they?
They're a small little V over IP. Talking about SMEs, they supply telephone services, everything from
VoIP.
Yeah, they're in competition with BT, but BT don't really. They have one plan fits all, but they're cheaper, they're better, they've got a better score on those independent websites. But they raised 2.2 million recently, and the share price took a massive hit. It was like a 50% discount, so a lot of share price holders are annoyed. But they now got 2 million cash they raised. And they are 2.5 million market cap. Now, in August, they had 302 new businesses sign up. In September, they had 320. The first week of October, they had 110. And they reckon now this fundraiser will take the cash flow positive. So I quite like them. I quite like them.
Their chart for the year is entertaining, isn't it? Wow.
Yeah. Chart for the year. And so, worth a look at.
In at 1.2 at the start of the year, Tuple, now down to 0.2p. Wow.
Yeah, I know, but this
is... And then they had a crazy rise, like you say, in like August, September time,
isn't
it?
This is the level. They're the main listed company, so this is the level, though. But the CEO has chunk skin in the game. He's been on the podcast quite a few times. I've been waiting and waiting, but I just think now I'm just sitting waiting. How far... They're going to be cash flow positive within a year or so, and... And I just think the contracts are going up, and they're sorting out their margins, and so I just quite like them. And they, Totally, they've got revenue, they've got cash. Totally has got 10 million in cash last interims. They're only 12 million market cap, and literally, they've made 5.6 million new contracts since year end financials. They're going to be turnover. They acquired Voke. They're going to be turnover 80 million this year. It's crazy, really. And they made 2.1 million pre-tax profit last year, so they're not valued pretty much beyond cash. Mm. And same with Tuple, I think, hardly valued beyond cash. So
going back to Tuple, they had an entertaining day on the 29th of August, didn't they? Blimey, trebled in value.
Yes. Well, that was they announced a 3.5 million deal.
Right.
And then off the back of that, of course, see the drop off. They said, "Oh, let's raise some cash quick."
And they it's a really topical podcast. I'm talking about a price action. Or a movement in the share price 6 weeks ago.
You've been talking about house music, next. What about that house music? Hey, that's good, isn't it? I'm really into that.
This could catch on. You've gone into them this week, have you?
Yes. Well, I did. I went in a while back, then I go back out. I thought, I don't know, I changed my mind. And I've gone back in. I thought, no, do you know what? I'm happy to hold you. I had a colour a couple of weeks back, didn't I? Lots of stocks. Just to get some cash on the books there, because I got a bit bearish, and turns out I started scaling back in before the correction happened properly, but I should have stayed bearish. I think we should realise this, boys. Right, once twice a year is a correction. When our stocks or our portfolios get so decent a level, just start selling out of companies. You can do this on an up day when there's liquidity, because it's counterintuitive.
I think we said this before, haven't we? It's just having the discipline and the belief. to do it, isn't it? But I did do a bit of it the other week because of this. So, you know, I did definitely made a conscious effort to do it, but and sold some Vasarians and sold one or two others.
Yeah, this is the way we need to flip it, okay? This is the way we need to think. This is how a hedge should work. When we're high and we think it'll go higher, it probably won't. We need to sell. When it's low and we think we're going lower, it probably won't. We need to buy. That's it. Yeah. So, you know, it's easy to... Yesterday, the world is going to... Hell in a handcart. Is it a handcart? I don't know what a handcart is. Yeah, you always push it. Yeah, yeah. I always get that mixed up. It's a high cart.
But you said that on your diary.
Yeah, I have to think consciously that what is it? Is it a high cart or handcart? Is it a high hell in a handcart? High
in hell. Hell cart.
Yeah, in hell cart. Anyway, so yesterday, you know, there's gloom. No way can stocks go up again ever again. And that's it. You know, everything's fall off a cliff. Now today, I'm going to get on Friday, out of all my stocks, the majority are up, and I've got a few down, I've got four down, but double that amount is up. So it's bullish again. See, sentiment can turn on a dime. You know what I'm saying?
But you kind of need a nice kind of war chest of cash, don't you, for these opportunities, for these...
I was watching a guy on CNBC, right? He's been sitting on cash. He's a big investor. He was an early investor in Facebook and Google. So he's done quite well, right? He's tech on. He's been sitting on cash for a year, since January.
Wow.
And
that's discipline, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that is discipline. He's worth millions. He said, "Yeah, I was a bit early, but you can't tell. I've missed out on quite a few gains, but you know, he said, I think there's more to come. But I think there's more to come. We'll have a relief rally like crazy. And do you know what? It'll rally. People think it's going to go to the sky again, blue sky, and then all of a sudden, that's when we'll come back. When we can't break the previous high that we have done recently, the markets, that's a double top. That's when to start selling. But In a bear
also,
market, go on.
You're talking there a little bit like a dirty trader. The long-term potential, a lot of these companies that we've invested in, you know, I'm happy with my holding.
I've seen your pictures. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm happy with my holding.
Yeah.
I think it's tricky because we had the one big one with Asian Met where that would just kept rising and rising. So if we would have sold out when we thought that was at high, you know, we would have been quite disappointed as it just continued to rise. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's definitely a challenge, isn't it?
But what I'm saying is always be prepared. When you've got something that's high like that, top slice, top slice, top slice, and then, you know.
Mm.
But ultimately, what's the opposite what's
the opposite of top slice?
A low...
Bottom, knob, top, bottom, bottom. Rather than slice, put something on. Bottom, pat.
Bottom, buy.
Bottom buy? Yeah, bottom buy is what it is. Well,
yeah, that's... Steve knows it.
Bottom buy.
Yeah, bottom buy.
Yeah, Steve knows that about the apps he's on all the time. He's,
yeah, he wasn't commenting on that. He was, again, looking at something on his screen.
Yeah. But, but the difference is, Steve, when we got into Asia Met, that was like, what, 3 years ago? Was it?
Yeah.
Probably longer.
And so we're in the middle of a cycle there, and it was still on... You know, we didn't really know whether resource stocks would take off. At the moment, we're towards the end of a cycle here, an economic cycle, you know? That's why you've got to be a bit careful.
What I'm saying is that, like, I'm happy with my holding in terms of, you know, yeah, okay, this one stock might drop 20% in one day, but, you know, it's not about that. It's about the long term, what this stock will be worth, hopefully, in 2 years, 3 years' time. You know, I'm looking at C4XD or Jangada or whatever, Predator.
Yes.
Predator, oh no, it's dropped down, even though I've de-risked. But then you go, well, that's an opportunity to buy. And it's not about being 5p or 8p, it's about, who knows, 20p. 30p.
We are investors, but I'm saying we're getting the good, best prices. So you can top slide. You can top slide, like, you know, Predator Oil and Gas, excellent example. Top slice of that, then come back in now and bottom buy again.
That's what I'm doing now, yeah.
So, you
I'm
know,
do that
so that's
today.
The best way of compounding your gains. You know, you compound it over and over again. Yeah. Top slice, bottom buy. Top slice, bottom buy. Take it off the top, put it on the bottom. Take it off the top, put it on the bottom.
Yep, there we go. Steve, have you averaged down at all this week?
I literally had no cash at all.
That's because you've not been top slicing, bottom buying.
I did. I top sliced PRD, but I've invested it all before this yesterday or Thursday.
Okay, guys, I think we now got a good run now until April next year. Good centre rally, because it's always good to have a correction. It clears it out. You know, it sets you up for a nice little rally, I think. But,
so you're saying we're not going to have another day like Thursday until at least April?
No, we'll have volatility, but we've had the S&P is the, you know, in America, which is a broad range of index. S&P 500 is 500 stocks, you know, so that's a broad range, you know, covers a lot of companies.
Yeah.
That's gone down for 6 days on a trot which is pretty much unknown, you know? I mean, it doesn't have, the VIX, the volatility index, hit 22. More than that, actually, at one point, and that hasn't been that high since February. So, you know, these are touch points where you realise, oh, hang on, we are experiencing... It may have a bit of volatility, but like I said, bear markets, you know, people say, oh, people think bear markets go straight down. They don't. Because people don't know it's a bear market, because there's you know, violent rallies, which you can take advantage of. I'm convinced, right, we're going down 2019, 2020, the stock market's taking a hit. Interest rates are going up, bond yields are saying this, and so I'm of the conviction that I will be sort of slicing a little bit here and there, be a bit cautious with my cash, and only invest in companies I think are very undervalued. And even if we have a recession, we'll still be undervalued anyway, you know, because, I did lose my train of thought there. I was going to say something else, I think, but there we are.
Okay.
What was I saying at the start there? You say it won't go down. No, that's what I'm saying. So, you can, you know, work a bear market to your advantage. You can sell on the updates.
Yeah.
But because I'm convinced now that we are going into bear market, I will be doing that. If we get, you know, if we get decent runs now in good stocks, then if I say double a stock now, I'll take a half out and I'll park it unless something's so compelling, so convincing, I don't think it'll get any cheaper even in a bear market, you know. So you've got to be super convinced, whereas before you can think, well, we're at the bottom of a cycle or in the middle of a cycle. Now I think we're towards the top of the cycle, the economic cycle.
Yeah.
It's like you're riding a penny farthing now. It could topple any time. Before you were on a stabilizer's bike, you were fine. We haven't done much analogies, have we? Do you understand, Steve? When we first started off, we were on a little bike with stabilizers. Now we are on a penny farthing a little bit, you know, sooner or later.
Is that better?
Well, is that all right, Steve? That one? Does that make sense?
Yeah. A penny. He doesn't sound convinced. No. Is that better being on a penny farthing? I don't know.
No, it's not. Know. No.
That's what was confusing me a little bit.
What I'm saying is, at the start of the cycle, the economic cycle, we were on small cycles with stabilizers.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. It's just the size.
We were close to the ground. We were quite stable. It couldn't go any further down. You know, it was stabilized, pretty much. Then we got a bit bigger. We were on a BMX, going a bit crazy. Yeah. Now, you imagine going on a BMX track on a penny farthing. That's where we are at the moment. You know? Imagine that. Wearing, you know, rubber... I feel
you've confused Steve beyond anything now. You won't be able to claw him back now. He's gone.
What I'm saying is, get in the mind frame that always invests when the fact is...
The mind frame.
There's a bear market.
Okay.
I kind of understood the actual... To
what
you said originally, so you
actual
can
concept.
Analogize it.
Yeah, okay, analogize. Oh, look at Steve with the correctment. Analogize. He's got everything going on there.
The other thing we haven't talked about was...
Steve needs to leave now. Go on.
Oh, Steve needs to leave. No, we haven't talked about forgive and forget. No, follow or forget.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing that once a week.
Right, I was going to ask, because it was on twice this week for some reason, but it's going to be once a week.
Yeah, no, because I was too tired. And I get up at sort of 10 to 5, and I do that at 8 o'clock at night. So,
On YouTube.
YouTube Live. I'm doing... I quite like video diaries as well, because I just talk about it, you know, stocks, quite honestly, and not having to go crazy about it, and just sort of see... Because I just want to put stuff out there all the time. Because I have lots of thoughts every day about, you know, stocks and shares. I spill a lot of them at the weekend podcast, but the time it comes around, I've forgotten most of them. So I've got enough for a daily, you know, mind spill, really. So I'm just going to do that on a daily basis. So please...
Brain dump.
So please go, you know, subscribe to the YouTube channel and you get notifications whenever I release a video or email. And then I just talk about stocks and stuff, you know.
I thought it was good. It was quite interactive. Lots of people commenting. Mostly nice stuff as well.
Did it help that I had, I had no clothes on?
That was the worrying element for me, but okay. It was entertaining.
That was the one questionable bit, but apart from that, it was fine.
Yeah, that was the only bit that I thought was a little odd, but otherwise it was good. Steve, what do you think?
Shiny head.
Yeah, I've sorted the lighting a little bit now, though. I've sorted the lighting, you know, because I had it way above my head. Now it's not, it's lower in front of me a bit, so it's a bit better. All right, so
but just I wear a hat, wear like a boob inspector hat or something.
Yes, so, but I need maybe a different kind of light. Steve can send me a link to a light. I need a plug-in light. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
All right.
Anyway, right. Good.
Have a nice weekend.
Yeah. You too.
Yes.
Yes. Right. Sorry, I was accusing you. Yes. You have a good one too.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.